For years, educators and politicians have been promoting inclusiveness and diversity as a way to peace. Well-intentioned thinkers suggest that we must celebrate all levels of ability and achievement equally. In a world where different cultures and religions run up against each other frequently, this idea, this political correctness, sounds like a well-reasoned approach to social harmony. The long-term results, though, have been disappointing. Children who have grown up in a politically correct world still exhibit a focus on self and a lack of concern for others, and this leads to a whole host of social ills. Hello, I'm Rich Rossel, along with our host Trace Embry. Trace is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a premier Christ-centered residential treatment program for troubled teens located in Martin, Georgia. And this is Licensed to Parent. Well, Trace, great to see you again.
Good to see you.
You know, neither you nor I, as far as I've been able to gather so far, are fans of political correctness, but how does political correctness affect character building, or I guess more specifically, how does it harm character building in our kids?
Well, maybe it helps us by resisting it. You know, not all things that are politically correct are spiritually correct or morally correct, ethically correct. I see political correctness as really akin to peer pressure, really. And there's some peer pressure that could be a positive thing. There's some peer pressure that could be a negative thing. But again, the benchmark always has to be Scripture when it comes to moral ethical issues as a believer and really as an unbeliever, because those people who want to break God's commandments really end up having those commandments break them, and whether they know it or realize it or want to admit it or not. And, you know, we're a program licensed to parent. We teach parents how to become better at their craft of parenting. And wouldn't the logical question be, well, where do you get your insights from? I mean, where do you get your principles from, your techniques or whatever? And I think it would be the ultimate act of arrogance to say that these things come out of my mind and therefore you need to heed them. I had to first heed them in my life first, along with my family. And now I share these things with kids and moms and dads from around the world at Shepherd's Hill Academy, them knowing that these aren't my ideas. These are just the ideas that I gleaned from a document that I put full faith in. And to the degree that people put full faith in that document, I think they find a tremendous degree of success in their parent-child relationships and in their lives as a whole. So we first have to establish the standard, you know, for being a good parent. And if political correctness is congruent with that, such as maybe don't hurt anybody, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But all opinions aren't equally valid. And that's one of the politically correct ideologies out there, is that your opinion is as good as mine. Well, not necessarily. It's only to the degree that it's congruent with reality, truth, that one is preeminent over the other. But I think the political correctness that you're talking about, in many cases, it inhibits our ability to think critically and independently. It has a tendency to make everyone feel good about what they do and what they believe, even if what they believe and what they do is wrong. I want to feel good about this. Because I think in general, our kids are way too overstimulated with rights and privileges that political correctness has given our kids, while being way too understimulated with responsibilities and obligations. I mean, we don't require much of our kids anymore. And consequently, they don't do much. They failed to attach reward to achievement because our politically correct society has said that, you know, everyone's a winner. They deserve the prize. And, you know, by golly, let's not hurt anyone's feelings. I just had two cars pass me on the highway yesterday with a big sign on it promoting a ministry. And I think in all other respects, this ministry is a good thing. Where they go to churches and they have kids compete in sports, but they don't keep score. I just went to my grandson and my granddaughter's soccer game. It was a church-sponsored thing. For all I know, this agency could have been part of that. But I said, who's winning? I got there a few minutes late, and she says, well, they don't keep score. Well, what's the point of putting the ball in the net then if they don't keep score?
Right.
Because I think that because of political correctness, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings for losing. Yeah. But this is a character-building opportunity for our kids. You know, teach them not just how to win, but how to lose.
And I want to speak to that issue of the winning and losing. My kids have been in some of those programs through our church, and they are great programs, and you get good coaching and good mentoring that can go on, and quite often there are Bible memorization and things that go along with it because it's a Christ-centered program. I can tell you this, though, the kids keep score.
Oh, yes, they do.
The kids absolutely keep score, and my son would come and tell me after playing basketball, he said, I'm pretty sure we won by, I think it was about 10-4, or they won by so-and-so. Yeah, they beat us when they did this. The deal is our kids want to keep score.
No, that's exactly right. The real world keeps score, Rich.
Exactly.
If you don't do a good job in your job, someone else is going to do a good job in your job, or what used to be your job.
The political correctness that we're talking about tries to level the playing field, and it tries to do that across all boundaries, all borders, including religion, and saying this religion is no more valid than that and no more valid than the other. And yet Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That, to me, says, okay, well, maybe there is one greater than the other, and if I hold Christianity and the Bible to be true, then suddenly I'm not politically correct, but that's okay.
Well, let me ask you this. What does it do in the eyes of a kid for the veracity of an adult when he says that, you're a winner, knowing that you scored 15 points less than the other team? What else are you pulling the wool over my eyes, so to speak, with Mr. Adult or Mrs. Adult? Kids don't trust adults as it is. And when they tell them that everyone's a winner and that, it's all good, this results in our kids being cheated out of the character building experiences that can only be learned by struggle, defeat, disappointment, and failure. We're all going to fail at things. We're all going to be disappointed. We might as well get used to that as kids. I think that's why Little League was started to begin with, to teach kids how to lose as much as to teach them how to win. Anyone can win.
Yeah.
And I think parents make the mistake to think that as long as our kids are smiling, everything's good. But the Bible talks about even in laughter, the heart could still ache. And that's in Proverbs. I forget the chapter and verse. But, after this soccer game that my grandson was involved in and my granddaughter, they lined the kids up to shake hands. And you've seen that done before. Well, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be a better building experience? Because both teams think they won, okay? All right? And in soccer, you each get a goal and that's about it, So they each think they won and are congratulating the other team. But wouldn't it be a much better character building experience if you could line up knowing that you just got waxed, all right? You just took it on the chin and you're congratulating the victor in this match, knowing that I just need to do better next time.
Yeah.
Where's the incentive to improve? And I think that cheats our kids out of tremendous character building opportunities when we do things like that.
Let's look, though, at where this came from, because, it would be easy for us to say, well, it's all the fault of our government, or it's all the fault of our schools, or all the fault of insert name of group, person, or whatever here. But where did this come from?
Well, I think it goes back to what you said in the opening, is political correctness. The church has succumbed to a lot of that. Indicative of that is accepting some of the perversions of life in the church, because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I can tell you that my wife got me there's like an ABCs of the Bible, kind of from Genesis to Revelation, all the major stories through the Bible. And when they got to the Sodom and Gomorrah story, not one mention of homosexuality. Not one. That to me is unconscionable, that we would rewrite what we know the Bible to say on particular subjects to accommodate political correctness. Because remember, it's not biblical correctness that is the problem. It's political correctness, which tells me there's a political agenda behind this thing. Just like when our kids go to school and be indoctrinated with all these ideologies and whatnot, it's really similar to Hitler's youth. We're allowing the government to tell not only our kids how to be kids and healthy and the whole nine yards, but how we should parent them and what right and wrong is. It's antithetical to what the founding fathers in this nation, anyway, had in mind for us to be a great nation. And I think in recent years, we've declined as a nation, and I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, this is a two-way street, though, because I know you've said in the past that we have a youth problem, and here at Shepherd's Hill, you're certainly dealing with youth problems quite a lot. We have a youth problem largely because we have a greater parent problem. We have a parent problem largely because we have a greater cultural problem. Mm-hmm. We have a cultural problem largely because we have a greater church problem. But each one in both directions is affecting the other. Can you address that a little bit?
Well, you know, I think you have to go back to, what is it, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their what? Their church?
Their lands.
Their lands.
Yeah.
Their culture, their community. The buck does stop with the church. Remember, the church is supposed to be a shining light to a dark world, that city on a hill. And, you know, our founding fathers saw it that way, you know, they saw it that way. And they built a government that was really subservient to that biblical ideology on things. And where things were gray, okay, they handled them as gray. But there are some black and white things that we have just strayed from. And I keep going back to political correctness and the postmodern worldview, which basically says, do what you want to do. My truth is as good as your truth. It feels good, do it. Again, it's all about feelings. Well, you know, people feel good smoking cigarettes. People feel good doing drugs and alcohol and illicit sex. They feel good doing all those things. But all those things, taken to the logical extreme, is going to kill them. And I'm not talking so much about the church as an organism. The organism being the true body of Christ. I'm talking predominantly about the church as an organization. And I don't think people have trouble with the church, including our kids, as an organism. Because when they truly see people living out the biblical worldview, they respect it. I mean, they actually respect it. It's the hypocrisy they see in the organization of the church. And that's man's attempt at trying to organize things to where we can agree on who God is and how to operate underneath his authority. And I keep, you know, hearing people say, well, you know, it's all organized church. That's the problem. Organized church. And I'm thinking, would you prefer unorganized church? You know, but all kidding aside, there is that remnant, that true body of Christ, which is called the church. And that will always stand regardless of what political correctness is doing, how the culture is moving. Matter of fact, the more persecution, the better, the stronger the true body Christ gets. That's where we want to bring ourselves to as parents. That's where we want to bring our kids to so that they can face the onslaughts of those cultural influences that are going to cause the weak, the organization perhaps, to cower. That's what's happening today. We're cowering.
As far as the organism goes, I know you've seen this phenomenon, I have as well, where a move of the Spirit, a move of the body of Christ will take place not just in one congregation, but across a nation, across a world, where you'll see this rising up and that rising up as if everybody was on the same Facebook page talking about it. Well, of course, nowadays they might be, but but you know, as if there were some concerted effort. And what it is, it's there are people who are spiritually discerning.
That's right.
Members of the body of Christ, that church that you're talking about, the organism, that are all sensitive to God's leading, and so things take place as God directs. And so I guess it's this spiritual discernment that we're really talking about here.
That's exactly right, and it's the spiritual discernment that is going to make you the parent that you need to be. You know, all great revivals started with young people, okay? And I think this is a generation that is no exception. I think there can be a revival if they'll see something real in the adults that they're around. But true revival changes entire cultures. You know, those revivals in England and whatnot, the bars shut down, not because we were out picketing against them, it's because people didn't desire to go there anymore, you know? And it usually transformed an entire people. Whereas some of these so-called, quote-unquote, revivals you hear about, you know, across the United States or Canada or wherever, people are barking like dogs or whatever they do, those are very pocketed type of things. And people have to flock to a certain location to get this particular experience. I don't quite get that, you know, and I'm not saying that God's not working despite all that. I think he is. I just think there's some people helping God along a little bit. And what we want to do is we want to be genuine people. And if there's an experience that's taking place that is genuine, our kids are going to be attracted to that. I guarantee you.
Address the aspect of becoming a discerning believer, somebody who's spiritually discerning. I know that we ourselves need to work on conforming ourselves to Christ. Mm-hmm. How does that play out?
Well, you know, we, like the world, we're just too busy being entertained and pleasured, you know, into imbecility, as I often say. But we have to get back to the basics before we as a church can really ever right the ship, okay? It's going to require the renewing of our mind, the very thing as Christians that we have failed to do in recent decades. And, you know, Romans 12:2 addresses this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is so important here. The spirit is within the mind as well. Okay, when your mind transforms, you're working on your spirit too. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So there's a part that we play. It is God who does the transforming, but we actually have some skin in the game too. Mm. We have to pursue Him with the right heart and attitude and train ourselves to be godly, as the Bible says. And that comes through studying His Word, fellowship of the saints, prayer, all of that. But in our politically correct society, the culture that we live in, we get caught up with so many entertainments and deadlines and all these things that occupy our overextended days. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I'm not saying I got this all figured out. But to the degree that we can, you know, back it down a notch, then we'll find that righteousness, that peace, that joy that the Bible calls the kingdom of God, or the abundant life. And we'll pass that along to our kids. Our kids will desire the things that we have. And if it's just a matter of telling our kids, do this, do that, do the other, and you know, you're not reading your Bible enough and all that other stuff, that's just going to turn them away. If they see us actively doing these things, loving them as Christ loved us, they're going to find an attraction and a security in all that. And that's going to solve a great deal of the problems we have in our parent-child relationships.
You're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel. And in just a moment, we will continue our conversation. And when we do, I want us to look at how to know God's will in specific cases and whether God's love for us is in any way dependent upon our behavior. How's that for a cliffhanger? We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a Christ-centered residential treatment program for troubled teens from all around the world. Trace, we were talking right before the break about the importance of knowing God's will, and I guess I would ask that in light of prevailing cultural influences that you've been describing, would you say that the average church member may not even be qualified to identify God's will at this point?
Well, you know, the Lord has specific will, corporate will, individual will, and general will. You know, you go to the Proverbs, those are general principles given to a people in general with general results. But going back to Romans 12, 2, you know, because of our current cultural seduction, and we have definitely been seduced by our culture, and greater than any time in history, simply because of all the digital devices. But not only do most Christians today not know the specific will of God for our individual lives, we don't even know what God's general will is. And if you first don't know his general will, it's going to be tougher to know a specific will. By the same token, there are people out there who never read a word of Scripture who have a relationship with the Lord, the living, one true God. They're hearing, remember, Abraham didn't have a Bible, you know? But a lot of us do, you know? And God holds us accountable for the things, not that we don't have, but the things that we do have. To whom much is given, much will be required. The fact of the matter is, we do have a lot of tools at our expense. We have Christian radio. We have Christian bookstores. We have a church on every street corner. We really have no excuse, Rich, for not knowing the Lord. But we have a grand competitor in these United States, and it is pleasure. It's entertainment. It's American Idol, you know, and that's exactly what we've turned entertainment and pleasure and food and sex and drugs and rock and roll into. How many brothers and sisters in the Lord do you know who can even quote the Ten Commandments, though? You know, and we complain that, you know, the schools aren't teaching our kids the Ten Commandments. They've taken prayer out of school. They won't let them pray in school. There's no Ten Commandments. But are they hanging in our home? Are we praying with our kids before they go to school and when they come home, while they're at school? Can our kids recite the Ten Commandments? Can we recite the Ten Commandments? So before we go beefing and moaning about, you know, the public school system.
And what they're not doing.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Yes, let's make sure we got our act together first. Many kids don't even know the Ten Commandments exist. I'm amazed. The kids that come through here sometimes never heard of Adolf Hitler. They couldn't name two or three presidents beyond, you know, the current president. It's a tragedy as to where we're at. Because we're so entertained and pleasured, I call it chasing the genie. We're trying to find the very same thing out of life that God says you'll find in the abundant life. You know, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you, but we don't. We're seeking our own kingdom. We're not seeking the kingdom. And we as parents have got to train our kids to seek the kingdom. How many Christians would even know where to find the Ten Commandments in Scripture? You know, if we aren't in tune with God enough to know his general will for our lives, like honor your father and your mother, and don't lie, things like that, how will we know God's specific will? Or what spouse to marry? What job to take? What house to buy? What school to enroll our kids in? How and when to discipline our kids? How are we going to know these things if we first don't know the general principles? I think God gives us these general principles as a springboard to understanding the specific things for our life. Just like the Licensed to Parent program, we don't really, I try not to anyway, tell our listeners what they have to do. I try to encourage them and move them in a direction to come up with the answers for themselves, hoping and praying that they will be congruent with a biblical worldview. Now that you have to do if you're going to call yourself a Christian anyway.
So if we are not doing that, let's say, does that affect God's response to us and his love for it? Does God only love us when we respond by doing these things that you were saying?
God loves the worst sinner. There's nothing we can do to hinder his love for us. But there are things that we can do to hinder his blessing for us. If your child, Rich, at home, or my child blatantly disobeys us, whether through omission or commission, we're going to be less likely to want to buy them that bicycle or that baseball mitt or that new computer or whatever, especially when it's done in open rebellion, then we've got something else for them in store.
Yeah.
And God's pretty much the same way that way. So it's not about, but you still love your child. I mean, there's nothing your child can do. If your child woke up tomorrow morning and told you he buried your uncle in the backyard, you're probably going to turn him in. You're probably going to do all the things that justice would require, but you're going to love him and pray with him and walk him through that. And God, I think, is the same way. There are consequences for our actions. The cross took care of our eternal consequences if we'll just accept that.
In a diverse culture like we're in right now, there are certain fundamentals that are no longer fundamental, certain common things that are no longer common. As Christians, are we still looking to the same truths that we used to? Have those changed in any way?
Well, I think fundamentally they should be the same. The times change. God doesn't change. We need to be rigid on our principle, flexible on our method. I don't know how else to put that. There are things that this generation has to deal with, digital stimuli, which we talk about a lot on this program, that our fathers didn't have to deal with. And so this is all the more why it's important to have a biblical worldview. Once you've established a biblical worldview, anything culture or the enemy can throw at you, you will know how to sift through it. You'll know how to chew up the wheat and spit out the sticks according to that biblical worldview, so that God can bless your life and the life of your kids and your entire family.
On our next program, we can talk about dieting if you want to, about the eating the wheat and the sticks. But I think that does make a nice ending point for today's conversation here, Trace. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening. This is Licensed to Parent. Our goal on this program is to equip you to be the kind of parent that your child needs. And in doing so, we hope that you'll head off many of the problems that kids are dealing with when parents are unsure. And with that uncertainty, they're also ineffective in guiding the next generation. We're sharing tools, by the way, that are used every day right here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and they are tools that work. As you hear these conversations and they start to make sense in your life, we do hope you'll want to learn more, and we'd like to direct you to places where you can find more. And one of those is our website, licensedtoparent.org. You'll find archives of our past programs there, as well as our blog, which is full of great parenting advice. And you can also learn more about our Licensed to Parent weekends and about the ministry of Shepherd's Hill Academy, our parent organization. Finally, while you're on our site, we ask again that you would consider joining our support team. Your financial contributions and your prayer support certainly go a long way toward getting teens the help they need to overcome today's culture and to help parents become the parents they need to be through the work of this radio outreach. Just click on the donate button at the upper right side of the page when you visit us online at licensedtoparent.org. On behalf of our host, Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rozzle. Again, thanks so much for listening.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.